Okay, so welcome everybody, including Gary Schreiber, who just came in from Chicago. As I'm talking, you can play around with the boxes. You can move around the boxes with your browser if they get in the way. Hopefully more and more people have cameras and microphones will make it a lot easier to give the class. Tonight's topic, Midrash will be a famous one. We'll try to do every week something from the Parsha. And the famous one this week is the question, what mitzvot do the avot keep? And I want to text the sound. From what you heard, who remembers any type of pirush of what mitzvot Avraham Avinu kept? You can either tell me in the text box or you can use your microphone.
Eric Tavshili.
Okay.
Hachnasis Orchim.
Okay. So Shalom remembers thing. Okay. So we're gonna check what they say. Who remembers what Rashi says? Right, which we're gonna see very soon. And might we even begin with that? Okay. Well, Rivka says that they kept all of them. That's pretty much what everyone learns when they're in school. So, Rivka, I'm going to ask you, as long as you want, try, what was your gut reaction when you heard that they kept all the mitzvot? You can type it in your thing. It was hard to believe, exactly. I have no idea who Rivka is or where she's from, but it wasn't planted. What I want to show you tonight in the share, there's a lot of different opinions with that Midrash, and I want to try to give a little insight about how to appreciate Midrash. That's going to be Rashi's opinion. I want to show you that there's four or five other very solid opinions. In fact, Rashi's opinion is pretty much a lone one. And how, not only how nice they are, how educational they are, and how we can use them even to appreciate what Rashi says. Okay, we're going to begin with the pasuk that it all begins from. And I'm going to play with our screen here. And we're going to go to Chumash in a second. We're going to go to a Tanakh and pick up Perach. If you have a Tanakh with you, open up Perach Chavav and Sefer Breshit. And I'm going to share my desktop with you guys. And all of a sudden, your screen. This is like a. We're in Breshit Perach Chavav. I hope you can see the screen. Jay, the screen's okay?
It is fine. The screen's fine, yeah.
Okay.
I think we lost our chat box, though, although I'm not sure.
Yeah, it'll go back on when I get off the screen. There's the famine in the land, remember, from Perach Avav, and God tells Yitzhak not to go down to Egypt. And he tells him, because I'm promising, he tells you, I'll highlight, Gur ba'aretz hazot, you stay in this land, I'll be with you, and I'll bless you, etc. And I'll keep my shwa that I give with Avram. It makes all these promises. At the very end, God tells Yaakov as follows, Ekev asher shama Avram b'koli, v'yishmor mishmarti mitzvotai chukotai b'torotai. Why is it either that I picked Avram, or why am I giving, why are you continuing the legacy of Avram Avinu? Because what did Avram do? Avram kept, listen to me, he kept my mishmarti mitzvotai chukotai b'torotai. So that's the setup. And all the parshim are bothered by what is it that Avram kept. Before we go and see what the parshim say, we're going to have a little discussion. We had to have to close, right? One second. Okay, we're going to close the window now. We can have a little discussion over what different approaches you could use to solve the problem. Okay? If you were a parshan, what different approach could you use to understand what each pasuk meant? What we would do nowadays, we just simply look at Rashi or look in the parshanim. But before we see that, what approaches could we use? Anyone want to suggest one? If not, we'll, you can either say it or you can chat it. It's not what the answer is, but what approach could you use to figure out what each of the words mean? Okay. But Rivka is asking, where else do we say the phrase where? In what books? Or what book or what thing? Okay, but no, I'm looking for the phrase of Shema Abakoli. Okay, go ahead. Sonia, you're trying? Sonia, what you have to do, you have to press the button, the transmit button, just press it, and as you're pressing it, talk, and when you finish pressing, let go of the button. Okay, that's not going through. I feel like Eli the Kohen where I see someone's lips moving, but I don't hear them talking. Okay. Right, so I'll explain. We have a problem here with the audio. I'll explain the different approaches you could use, and you tell me if which ones make more sense. One approach is simple. I think it's what Rifka was doing. I'm going to look in Chumash for that word. Right? And now, where in Chumash can I look? Should I only look in the life of Avram Avinu, or should I look for that word in all of Chumash? Okay. So Gary says we should look in all of Chumash, which makes sense. Let's look for that word, all these phrases in all of Chumash. And if I find that word, does that tell me what Avram kept? So if those words mean, in Chumash, if Chok means, let's say, Paraduma, and Mitzvah means certain laws, and Torah means different laws, so you could reach the conclusion that whatever those words mean later on in Chumash is what Avram kept. That would be a definitely legitimate approach, and we're going to see that in a minute in Rashi. Okay? What other approach could you do? I could look in all of Chumash and look for the word, and figure out what the word means. And once I know what the word means, or basically look up the word in a dictionary, a Hebrew dictionary, or a biblical Hebrew dictionary, and then what do? I understand what the word means. Let's say mitzvah means a commandment, and the Torah means an instruction, and the mishmar means some guarding thing, and the chukah, let's say, something that doesn't make sense. And then I go to the life of Avram Avinu and see where these categories would fit into his life. We'll see an approach like that as well. And there's another approach where I can simply look for those words in Avram Avinu's life. And in the stories about Avram Avinu and Parshat Lech Lecha and Vayera. So we're going to switch screens now, and we're going to take a look in the Parshanim. Again, those who came on recently and want to print up the source sheet, we'll see it online, but this is the link. You can copy-paste it and open it up in your browser and take a look for yourself, or we're going to share screens and take a quick look. We're going to begin with Rashbam's opinion, and if you look on your page, we're going to, here we go, we're going to look at Rashbam, and Rashbam says as follows. I'm going to highlight it here for a minute. Here's the Rashbam. We're going to begin with this section over here. Is the screen on, Jay? We can't hear. Let me double check, make sure the screen is on. Oh, no, we have to start the screen. Sorry about that. Okay. Everyone see the screen, I hope? Okay, we're going to begin with the Rashbam. Hope you all see the Rashbam now. Rashbam says, Ekevet Shashma Avram Bukoli. He says, what's that referring to? Rashbam says, that's referring to the Akedah. Dichtiv Ekevet Shashmata Bukoli. So what Rashbam is saying is something very simple. We're going to take a look at the Pesukim in Sefer Breshit Perach Chabet after the Akedah. Take a look. The Malach comes and tells Avram, a second time from Shemaim, he says, Bini Shvatinu Mashem, etc. And then he tells them, we'll just begin with Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ki varecha brachacha, varbed zaracha, kechochvei hashamayim. God tells them, I'm going to bless you, etc. And then Pasuk Yud Chet, Vidbarchu bezaracha kol gei haaretz, Ekev asher shamata bekoli. What do we find? We have the exact same phrase in the story of Dakeda, that Avram listened to God. And therefore, Rashbam says very simply, that what's it referring to? It's simply referring to the Akedah. Now we'll look at the next one in the Rashbam and see what he says. It says, Vayishmor Mishmarti. Sorry about that. See what he says? Kegon Mila, Dichtiv Vatad Briti Tishmor. Here again, we're referring to Pesukim and Chumash. We'll take a look now in Breshit Perak Yud Zayin. Where Hashem tells Avram to perform Brit Mila. And here, in Pasuk Tet, Vayomer Elim El Avram, Vata et Briti Tishmor. What's Rosh Hashanah's approach? Nice and simple. Here, Tishmor means Milah, and here we do Milah. It's referring to Brit Milah, and that's what Avram kept. Let's go back now to the Rashbam. Rashbam says, "Havayishmor mishmarti kegon milah dichtiv ba vatad briti tishmor." He quotes the pasuk we just saw. What's mitzvotai? Here Rashbam says something very interesting. Here he says, "Kegon mitzvat shmonat yamim." That's the mitzvah to do milah on the eighth day, like it says in Perek Chaf Aleph. "Vayom Avram mitzvat bino ben shmonat yamim kasher tziva oto Elohim." Rashbam sees this very simple. Here I have the word tziva. It says mitzvotai. And therefore, we'll go back and take a look at the pasuk by Avram in Perek Chaf Aleph. There it says, "Vayom Avram mitzvat bino ben shmonat yamim kasher tziva oto Elohim." And therefore, we have the word tziva. And the Rashbam says, "What's it mean mitzvotai?" Avram commanded, God commanded Avram to do milah to Yitzchak on the eighth day, and he followed that. So Rashbam Shita is very, very simple. Now we're going to go back to our regular setup. Okay. That's Rashbam, makes a lot of sense, and follows. The problem is, Rashbam is basically doing a search for these words in the life of Avram Avinu. The problem is when he gets to Chukotai V'Torotai, he doesn't have a match. So we're going to take a look what he does here. We have to go back to our, if you have your Rashbam, take a quick look at it. We're going to start up the desktop again. If you look at the Rashbam, the last part of the Rashbam, it says, what's Chukotai V'Torotai? Lefi Ikar V'Shutosh Kol HaMitzvot HaNikarot. Here he's arguing with his grandfather. He says, what's real pshat? We'll see Rashi in a minute. Okay. What's Chukotai V'Torotai referring to? The mitzvot that are nikarot, or the mitzvot that are become obvious to us. The ones that don't need to be commanded, we know them anyhow. To go gezev arayot v'chimud v'dinim v'chnasat orchim. He gives an example. Notice they're all from the second half of the Ten Commandments. And then he adds v'chnasat orchim. And stealing, arayot, coveting, and basic laws. And being nice to guests. Kulam yu nogin kodem matan Torah. Rashbam says the avot kept them because they were obvious to them. Even though they weren't commanded, the avot kept them for matan Torah. If that's the case, why does Chumash have to tell us these laws at Har Sinai? Why does Amis have to hear them? He says, Ela shidchadshu v'nitparshu l'Yisrael v'kratu brit l'kadman. Rashbam is coming explaining what was the purpose of these laws at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai as a nation, God has to machadesh them, has to start them over again. Has to explain them in more detail, like in Parsha Mishpatim, for sure. And also, Am Yisrael enters the covenant to keep them, because we're God's people. So that's Shitat Rashbam, which is very nice and straightforward. Now we're going to see, as long as we have the page in front of us, let's take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi is a famous approach. He says, Shema B'Koli. Rashi says, every time I tested him, and then Vayishmor Mishmarti, he says, these are the mitzvot of Drabanan, including, we see here, even Shvut L'Shabbat, even mitzvot Drabanan Shabbat, and all different things that Chachamim did to keep us away from Averot. Mitzvotai, those are laws that are intuitive, that even if they weren't written, we would keep them. But what his grandson said was Chukotai, he says are mitzvotai. Chukotai, those are things that have no obvious reason. And Torotai, Torah Shabbat Peh, Halachah Moshe Mishinai, in a nutshell, what Rashi is saying is that Avram Avinu kept the same mitzvot that Rashi kept. Which is a rather amazing approach. Okay. If you have any questions, yeah, about the seven mitzvot of Bnei Noach, we'll see in the other commentators in a minute. But Rashbam is saying something nice and simple. He's saying that basically Avram kept all the laws that were intuitive. And Rashi says that he kept everything that Rashi kept, which we'll have to return to at the end of this year. Okay. Now we're going to go to Ebenezer's Shita, which we'll see is very, very different. Any questions still here? We'll continue. Okay. We're going to go back to the Parshanim again. Rashbam himself doesn't mention the 70 Bnei Noach. Some of the ones in his list of Chukotavet Torotai, he's definitely alluding to them, like Arayot, there's Arayot there, there's Dinim. But also, Achnasat Rochim is not Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, that's something Avram did. So Rashbam seems to mean that Avram kept Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach and other things that he felt were intuitively right. Now we're going to see Ibn Ezra has a totally different approach, nice and simple one. We're going to move now to our desktop, and something went wrong. There we go. Back to our desktop. Look at the bottom of the page, on the bottom left, we have the Ibn Ezra. Look how he solves the problem of Vayishmor Mishmarti. Vayishmor Mishmarti, he says, Shem Klal. Shem Klal means a very general category. Meaning, if I say fruits, apples, oranges, and pears, fruits is a general name, followed by apples, oranges, and pears, which is a subcategory. He says Mishmarti is a general name for all the mitzvot, which includes Kol Mashu Chayav Lishmor, which includes Mitzvot, Chukim, V'Torot. So he solves one by saying it's a general name. Now he has to explain what the mitzvot are. And he says, nice and simple. What's mitzvah? Mitzvah is Lech Lecha. And also Kach Na'ad Bincha. Meaning, what's his approach? Saying, what's the word mitzvah mean in Hebrew? A mitzvah is a commandment. I don't need to look for the word like Rashbam did, what exactly the word. I need the concept. A mitzvah is a commandment. And Avram kept God's commandments. God told him to make Aliyah. He made Aliyah. God told him, take your son to El Akedah. Took your son from El Akedah. Then he says, Chukim. Chukim is a difficult phrase there. He says, Heim chukot Hashem sheilech adam achrei masav. What Rashbam is saying here, the chuk doesn't mean something that doesn't make sense. Chok means something that's set, like a statute, that's set and doesn't change. But he's saying God is set in his ways, and in essence he's saying that Avram would emulate God. Just like God is set in his ways, God would be Chanun Vrahum. So too, Avram Avinu would emulate God. The words of the Rashbam here are difficult. We'll see them much better in the Ramban very soon. And he says, what's the Torah? The Torah he kept is Shema Latzmo. He did Brit Milah. And he'll explain it later in Chumash. So, in a nutshell, what Rashbam is saying, Ibn Ezra is saying, is I simply take what do the words mean in Hebrew, and apply them to Avraham Avinu's life, which is nice and simple. But neither Rashbam or Ibn Ezra, neither said they kept all the mitzvot, like Rashi said. He said they kept the ones that he thought intuitively were right, or which were ways which were emulating God. Ramban, which we're not going to read the whole Ramban, because Ramban's very, very long. Ramban first asked the famous question on Rashi, if the Avot kept all the mitzvot, how did they marry two sisters, and how did they make a matzeva? He goes on and says it can't be they kept all the mitzvot. And he says, Ramban explains it. When it says he kept all the mitzvot, one pasuk, when Chazal say that, it could be referring to the fact he kept Shabbat, which is equivalent to all the mitzvot. Or it could be that he made up secondary laws of the Rabbanan on the laws of, he took the seven mitzvot of Noah, and he kept the chukim of them, and he did the Rabbanans on them, which he expounded upon them, and basically takes everything Rashi says that applied to the 613, and he applies them to the 7. But after going through arguing with Rashi and saying how he understands Chazal, Ramban's going to come back and give his own opinion of what he thinks is pshat. So we're going to pick up now with, in source S, on the page, which is going to be Ramban's opinion of Derech HaPshat. I'm going to circle it here so we see it. Okay. What's Derech HaPshat? In fact, I have another idea here. I'm going to clear this and make this bigger. Make it bigger, we have. Okay, now we got bigger screen. Hope that was clear now. Valdera Chapshat, this is Ramban, after his whole long Pirush, explaining Chazal. What's Mishmarti? Notice how Rashbam is going to take a totally different approach. I mean Ramban is going to take a totally different approach about in Derech Chapshat. He says, what's Mishmarti? Emunat He'eluhut. What does it mean that Avram watched God's guard? He's going to follow an approach similar to Ibn Ezra, that I take what does the word mean in Hebrew, and find it in the life of Avraham Avinu. But Ebenezer said Mishmarti was a Shem Klal, was a general name for all the mitzvot. Ramban says, no, it's a very specific type of behavior, which means watching God's guard, which means believing in God. Shemim b'shem amyuchad, b'shamar mishmer zu b'libbo. He believed in God, and he kept it, and he kept to his belief. B'chalak bo'al b'kochavim. He argued with people, professed idol worship, he argued with them. I mean, how did Avram watch God's guard? By believing in God and arguing with those who professed idol worship. How does he know he did that? It says, v'kara b'shem Hashem. Over and over again, Ramban explains that Avram calling out in God's name was calling out about God, not to God, but about him, making his name known to other people. He understood that Avram went around as an act of monotheist, trying to explain people who God was and what he expects from them and how it's not right to worship other more than one God. And he says, Lashib Rabim, Lavarato. But that's the first part of the Ramban, that Mishmarti means watching God's guard or believing in God and arguing on God's behalf. This is Mitzvotai. Here he goes, just like Ibn Ezra. He says, what's Mitzvotai? Kosher Tivo, he has Lech Lecha. And Olad B'no de Akedah. And he adds one more, Grishat Ta'ama Ved B'na. That's the story of Hagar being sent away by Avram, listening to what Sarah said. And that again, God, if you remember what God told Sarah, Avram, Kosher Tomar Lecha Sarah Shema B'kola, Ki Yitzhak Yikrei Lecha Zara. God commanded Avram to listen to his wife, and therefore he sent her Yishmael away. But all those examples of Avram Avinu listening to God's command, his shita is just like Ibn Ezra. Mitzvotai in Hebrew means a commandment, and these are all commandments that Avram kept. Now, look what Ramban says now for Chukotai. Chukotai, what he says here is amazing. What's Chukotai? Chukotai, we always thought, meant things that didn't have any obvious reason. What's Chukotai? Lelechet b'darchei Hashem. Liot chanum v'rachum. Can you believe that? Ramban Aderach HaPshat says, what does it mean, Chukotai? It means to emulate God, to follow His ways, and to be merciful and kind. And to do tzedek u'mishpat, and to command His children to follow that way. I'm going to turn off the screen here for a minute. And anyone have any idea of where the Rashbam is getting this idea from? Okay. Look at that pasuk again. What pasuk in Chumash is Rashbam building his explanation of Chukotai on? Anyone want to give it a try? Look at that wording again. Right. To follow Lishmor Derech Hashem, to do Tzedek Mishpat, and command his children to do that. There's a pasuk we read a couple weeks ago in Chumash. I'll put it on the screen in a minute. But someone should be able to realize where it's from. Let's see what we got there. Exactly. Oh, Jay, you weren't supposed to know that. I mean, you knew that. It's written for other people. Okay, I'll put it on the screen. Before God destroys Sodom. Okay? Before God decides to destroy Sodom, he tells him, can I hide from Avram what I'm about to do? Avram's going to be a great nation one day. And then he tells him, as follows, Avram will be a great nation. And then he says, Ki Yedatif, I've come to know him. L'man Asher Yitzaved Banav Et Beito Acharav, V'Shomru Et Derech Hashem. Remember? L'Atzot Tzedakah U'Mishpat. L'man Avi Hashem Avram Et Asher Yiber. And Avram was chosen to command his children and his children after him to keep the way of Hashem, to do Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Look what Ramban says so beautifully. Ramban says, what's it mean? Chukotai, L'Lechet B'Darchei Hashem, to be chanum v'rachum, and to do tzedakah u'mishpat. And to command that to his children. There's no doubt what Pasuk Ramban is building it on. How could that be chukotai? A chok in Hebrew means something that's set that doesn't change. The laws of nature are called chukei teva, or chukot shemayim ba'aretz, in Yirmiyahu. The calendar holidays are called chukat v'lan l'dorotechem. A chok is something that's set that doesn't change. Ramban and Ibn Ezra are both saying, when God says, Avram kept my chukim, that means that my laws means the way he kept my mannerisms, my behavior. And just like God is set in his ways, and he's always chanun v'rachum, etc., so too the Avot try to emulate God in every way. When he gets to Torah Tah, he says that's regular. It's Milah and Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. And that's Avram's Torah, what we would call nowadays Torah, or the laws that he kept his instructions. And therefore, Rashbam's Ramban Shita is very simple. It's simply Avram kept. He takes all the words. He takes the words, what they mean in Hebrew, and applies them to the life of Avram Avinu. And again, notice how Ramban B'Din HaChamshat says, surely Avram didn't keep all the laws that we have in Chumash. He only had the laws that he had to keep, Milah and the seven mitzvot B'nei Noach. But he kept them in a beautiful way, and the main thing he did was the spirit of the laws, based on what God told him, before destruction of stone. Okay, we're going to pick one more parshan to look at, and then we're going to have a little discussion of, the last one we're going to look at is Sforno. Sforno is very interesting, and we're going to put him back up on our box there. By the way, Tuna, any questions? If not, we'll do one more parshan. Sforno says as follows. You have your team from the... I think we're going to move over to... We're going to clear the thing. Sforno is going to be in C. And Sforno is going to say something rather amazing. Sforno says as follows. Ekev Esher Shmabram B'Koli is referring to everything I commanded him to keep my Mishmarti, to keep my laws, everything I commanded him. And then Vayishmor Mishmarti, listen to what he says. What does it mean to watch God's guard? Asat Tamid HaMishmarit HaMiyuchedet Li, Avram Tamid did my special guard, which is what? Shehi Ligmor Chesed. To do Chesed. I mean, acts of chesed, he says, how does someone watch God's guard? By how he acts, by the chesed he does. Komro kol chot Hashem chesed emet. The ways of God are chesed emet. Now, how does he know he did that? And also, in the horot chatem badarach, the people in the wrong direction, to lead them the right way. How does Rosh Sforno know that Avram did that? V'zesa kasher krab Hashem Hashem. Just like Ramban said. That every time Avram calls out in God's name, it's not just about talking about God. According to Sforno, Avram acted on his belief and did chesed to everyone he saw and everyone he met. And v'shamar gam kein mitzvotei chukotei v'torotei. He also kept laws. What laws are these? Shisavu b'nei Noach. He kept the seven Noachai laws, but how did he keep them? V'chein ha'yenoa doresh v'nar makayim k'mofet l'rabim. He kept them nicely, explained them nicely, and he was a model for other people to follow. Sforno is basically saying that Avram Avinu's life encapsulated in it everything that the Jewish people were supposed to do later on. Now, I want to show you something. I want to compare Ramban Lefi Apshat and Sforno. We're going to turn off. Okay. Would you say that Sforno, in what way is Sforno and Ramban, Adar Chavshat, similar? They're both similar in that they both say that Nishmarti is watching God's guard, and they take what the word means in Hebrew, and they're looking something in Avram's life where he watched God's guard. But what's the main difference between Ramban, who says that it was by how Avram argued on behalf of God and fought with people who profess idol worship? That's how he watched God's guard. And according to Sforno, watching God's guard is doing chesed. What's the main difference between their Drushim? Anyone want to make a suggestion? Something real simple. The main difference, in my opinion, is that according to Ramban, you watch God's guard by what you think and what you say, and according to Sforno, you watch God's guard by how you act and what you do. Now, not that one is right and one's wrong. The question is, both of them are saying both are important. But what does the Torah mean when it says Avram kept God's guard? According to Ramban, it's how he talks, what he said, how he argued with idol worshippers. And according to Sforno, it's how he behaved. Now, if you know Ramban's life, where is there something in Ramban's life that's very similar to his commentary on what's it mean to watch God's guard? Remember what he said, what's it mean to watch God's guard? To believe in God and to argue and fight with those who profess idol worship. Yeah. There's a famous argument that the Rashbam had, the Ramban had, with Pablo Cristiano, about attacking Judaism, and Ramban's job was to argue on behalf of Judaism, and he did such a good job, he got a free one-way ticket to Israel after winning the debate, if you know the story. I was supposed to, but it looks like the way the Ramban explains Avram keeping God's laws pretty much reflects what Ramban did with his own life. Now, in university, you could say that his personal life affected his commentary in Chumash. I want to say exactly the opposite. I think we see from here how that argument he had was much later in his life. I think we see from here something exactly the opposite, that he led his life, and what inspired him to enter that debate, he led his life based on his understanding of his commentary in Chumash. Meaning, it was his understanding of Chumash and his understanding of the life of Avraham Avinu that gave him the courage to stand up and fight and enter the Vikuach with the Christians. And as opposed to Sforno says that everything he did was... Sforno, by the way, is a Renaissance man, you know, in Italy, in the 1400s. And, so he was forced to debate, but he still stood up to the challenge and he did a good job. That's also true. Ramban always makes a big name of God's special name. But that he does more in his Pirush beforehand when he tries to explain Chazal. I want to do one more part in Sforno. Sforno, obviously, what's nice about Sforno, he says that you watch God's guard, you make a name for God, and protect him by the way you act and how you carry God's name. We're going to pick one more. We're going to take a look at Sforno one more time and for a conclusion. And Sforno, unlike any other Parshan, does something here which is very different. We're going to move this up and we're going to make it a little bit bigger. What's a little bit too big? 250 will do it. Okay. Look at Sforno, where he says as follows. I'll go mark it up. He says, we'll start over here. He says, "Bimeli Yitzchak, talam b'tzchut achrim ata." What did Sforno say? He's explaining, why is God telling this to Yitzchak at all? Why is he telling Yitzchak, "Ekev asher shema Avram b'kuli"? Why is he talking about what Yitzchak did? He's telling, Sforno understands that God's telling Yitzchak, the only reason why you're chosen is because you're Avram's father. Avram was your father. Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holidit Yitzchak. And also later on in Perek Chavav, God tells him, "Bibeiti ezaracha b'avur Avram avdi." God's consistently telling Yitzchak, the only reason you're chosen is because of who your father was. He says, we didn't find that by Yaakov or by Abraham. Now he explains why. V'zei HaKodem Shitorer Yitzchak Likro B'Shem Hashem. According to Sforno, Yitzchak's life up until this point, God was pretty upset with him. He says, what makes Yitzchak special? The fact that Abraham's son. But Yitzchak did nothing similar to what his father had done till now. Avram's life was one of calling out in God's name, calling out about God, making a name for God. And up until this point, Yitzchak really didn't do anything on his own. But now we're later in Perek Chavav, where Yitzchak takes it in from God, he goes to Beersheba, he builds a mizbech, he calls out in God's name, then all of a sudden Avimelech wants to make a treaty with him. And they says, and Avimelech says, we saw that God was with you. And no more, he had no more trouble afterwards in his life. He says, Yaakov was firm from Yankee. He was a Yosheva Olim and learned Torah the whole time. So therefore, we don't have that by him. So I want to summarize what we saw so far. We saw a lot of different approaches to what mitzvot the Avot kept. We saw Ramban, we'll start with Rashi, we'll summarize them. Rashi says that whatever Rashi kept, he kept, means he kept all the derites and all the derbanas, everything later comes in the Torah, and all the, everything from Jewish history, based on the Gemara Nevamot, who talks about that he kept even Erev Tavshilin. The question is, when the Gemara says that, are they saying it serious, to be taken literally, or saying it thematically? I want to suggest something in a minute about that. after we go over the other opinions. But Rashi is the only commentator who takes that, who appears to take that Gemara literally. All the other commentators, and they're all major leaguers, what did they come and say? They all come and say that Avram was a just and upright person, but he kept the seven Noahite laws, he kept the laws that are intuitive, he kept all those laws, but he that should be intuitive, and Ramban and Sforno added that he watched God's guard by how he said, how he argued, or according to Sforno, how he acted. Rashbam says something very similar by Chukotai B'Torotai. It's talking about the laws that come natural to man. If I want to take all those different Parshanim, who basically say that the main thing the Avot did, they made a name for God by how they acted, how they talked, how they acted, what they did. If we understand that that's the main brit, the covenant between God and Avram Avinu, and the Avot was to be a nation representing God, the concept the Avot had at a very early stage, when Am Yisrael becomes a nation, if I want to go back to what Rashbam said, I'm going to put it back on the screen in a second. If I look back at what Rashbam said, explaining what happened at Matan Torah, he said something rather important. Rashbam said as follows. At the end of the Rashbam, he said, "Kulam yudik nogim akol Matan Torah, el shint chatshu v'nit parshu." What's he saying? What happened on the scene? God had to explain them, had to machadesh them, to explain them, and make a brit. I'm going to enter a brit to keep them. In essence, what are the rest of the laws? What are the laws, the 613 laws that we get in Matan Torah? They're simply an extension of the basic laws that Avram was keeping already on his own. The concept of being a Jewish nation, Avram kept. The idea behind it. That Avram kept as an individual. When you have to translate the goals of an individual and the destiny of an individual and translate that into a working set of laws for an entire nation, sure, you're going to need a lot more than seven laws. You'll need a whole 613, and you'll need tons of different categories. But the spirit of those laws, the importance of those laws, was all based on what Avraham Avinu's own life was. So it could be what Rashi is saying, what Rashi is hinting to, is that Rashi is saying that because Avram was Avram Avinu, Rashi is keeping all the laws that he's keeping today, and so in essence, what Rashi is keeping is though Avram kept them. It could be you can understand it a little bit thematically. I'm not sure at all whether Rashi expects other people to take him literally, but you can definitely, based on what the other Parshim say, you can appreciate Rashi thematically, that Rashi is giving credit to Avram Avinu for all the mitzvot that Rashi himself is keeping.
Hello.
So, to summarize, I'm sorry, we have a question from Thing. Gary, are you asking about the Rashbam? No, Rashbam isn't saying that he kept the mitzvot that were later commanded. He's saying Avraham Avinu kept the mitzvot and Nikarot, the obvious ones. He's explaining what, if they're so obvious. He says, the Avot kept the mitzvot that are obvious, like to be nice and kind, etc. That don't have to. People should follow even though they're not commanded. He's saying, if it's so true, then why was there need to command them at Har Sinai? So he said, Amiso, when you reach a level of a nation, then we have to be much more specific in the laws. And the laws had to be also explained and detailed at Har Sinai, and we had to enter a covenant to keep them. But Rashbam is saying that the laws at Har Sinai are simply an extension of what Avraham Avinu kept on his own.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. We hear you.
Okay, yes, I just wanted to say, I'm not sure if you hear me clearly, but I was... This concept that what the Ramban mentions in terms of the shame and the shame amyuchad, I think I sent a reference there in terms of Shemois, by Matan Torah, actually, just after the Seres Dibrois, there's a posuk where where it says b'chol amakom asher afkir shmi aver lecho v'rachicha, and this Shem HaMiuchad emphasis from the Ramban, and I think Sforno also mentions the Shem. I'm just wondering if there isn't a bit more to this. You know, Abraham is reputed to be the author of the Sefer HaYetzirah, and I'm just wondering if there isn't a more direct relationship there.
It could be, but remember, the Ramban that we were reading is Ramban al Derech HaPshat. When Ramban says al Derech HaPshat, he usually doesn't do Kabbalah things. And the Derech HaPshat, Kriya B'Shem Hashem, is a big thing by Abraham Avinu. When he first makes Aliyah in Perek Yud Bet, he's Korei B'Shem Hashem. When he comes back from Egypt in Perek Yud Gimel, he's Korei B'Shem Hashem. After he makes a treaty with Avimelech, he's Korei B'Shem Hashem. Like the Esher B'Be'er Sheva. And that's a big thing through Chumash. What happens often in Kabbalah...
What do you mean by that? Are we saying that he's engaging a prophecy?
No. According to Ramban, Kriya B'Shem Hashem is making a name for God. He says it over and over again. And Sforno says the same thing, that every
But what does it mean
went,
to make a name for God?
He talked about him. He explained what God was. He set an example. That's what he said. He argued with people professing idol worship, and he went around making a name for God. Like,
so by the Aseret HaDibrot, where there's the emphasis, B'chol makom asher azkir et shemi, what is that a reference to?
That's God saying, that's what the law says of the Mizbeach. He says, build a Mizbeach. You can build a Mizbeach out of Adama. And usually, building a Mizbeach, that's very similar to Avram Avinu. Avram built a Mizbeach, and then was created B'Shem Hashem. And then we're playing that Tami Sro, says, wherever you go, or wherever I'll be with you, you build a Mizbeach. It could be that the exact explanation of that pasuk is difficult. It's talking about wherever God's going to say His name, wherever we're going to declare God's name. That is an argument in the commentators of what that means. And
I was just thinking, by where it's located, right immediately by the Aseret HaDibrot, there would be like a special meaning there.
It could be. That's a difficult pasuk there, and has a special meaning. But what Ramban's building on is the word Shem and Kriya B'Shem Hashem that happens over and over again in Sefer Bereshit. It could be that the Kabbalah stuff is based on the Pshat level. But I think Ramban at this level is simply, it's easy to understand him that he said before that he makes a name by God by what he says, how he talks, how he argues, and sticks up for God. And Rosh Hashanah said that's what it meant when he called out in God's name. Remember,
okay.
the people in Hebron said, Nisi Elim Ata B'Tochenu, you're a prince of God. What's that mean? He's known to everyone. This guy talks about God all the time. Okay, it's 12:30, so we have to go to sleep already. But Chodesh Tov to everybody, and thank you for listening. And Mir Hashem, next week we'll be doing the broadcast from Israel. The premiere will be early in the morning and not late at night. In a few, it'll still be late at night.
By the way, Jeff, thank you very much. 11 o'clock in the morning, if I can turn on the clock, but anybody's interested, Yoel Finkelman will be starting his class on Tamei HaMitzvot. He'll be in Yerushalayim. But anyway, that's at 11 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time, 10 o'clock in Chicago. I don't know where that other time you have on board tonight. Anyway, everybody, Shavua Tov, and we'll see you during the course of the week. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.